So today we wrap up our sermon series on the road to Emmaus, where we talked about how just as the early disciples learned to walk with the living, resurrected Jesus, we too are learning to walk with Jesus in new life. Though Easter Sunday has come and gone, Easter is really more than just a day. We're technically still in this kind of season of Easter, where we're considering how we might live an Easter life, resurrection life with Jesus Christ. That is a whole lifelong journey for us as Christians. And ultimately, one of the promises of Easter is that this journey of life with Christ doesn't end when we die. Through Jesus, God redeems even death, and we have the promise of eternal life. And so this week, we're considering this promise of eternal life, and we're reading today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The Bible uses a number of different images to help us picture the glory that is to come in eternal life. A house or a mansion with many rooms, a city with streets of gold and gates of pearl, a garden with a river running through it. We don't know much for sure. What we know, what we have promise to us, is that the glory that we have before us in eternity far, far outweighs the struggles of this life. And the Apostle Paul, as we see in our scripture, is filled. He's filled with hope for what is to come. And that is part of the message that Paul has for us too. We may have hope for what is to come. Paul is an unlikely person to be filled with hope. Paul has been dealing with a series of challenges ever since he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul spent several years persecuting Christians, but after he met Jesus, he was changed, and he started traveling around and preaching under primitive conditions. Paul was persecuted by those who were outside the church, and he was constantly criticized by those who were in the church. And we know that Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten a number of times, and he was thrown into prison, as we read in our scripture last week. And yet, through all of this, yet Paul holds out hope for what is to come. In his letter writing to the church, as we see today, he offers up a word of encouragement to anyone else who may be struggling in this life. Paul says, don't lose heart. Fix your eyes on what is to come, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And Paul knows as well as anyone, you have to fix your eyes on the future hope, because in this life of faith, we are sure to have challenges. On July 4th, 1952, Florence Chadwick, a 34-year-old long-distance swimmer, she stood on Catalina Island, and she waded into the water and began swimming toward the California coast. The coast was blanketed in fog, and she had 21 miles to swim from the island to the coast. She had already conquered the English Channel, and now she was determined to be the first woman to swim the Catalina Channel. As the hours in the water went by, Chadwick fought through extreme cold, dense fog, and even sharks. Several times, sharks had to be driven off with rifles. Straining to make out the shore through her swimmer's goggles, she could see only dense fog, and finally she knew she couldn't go any farther. She was never a quitter, but this time Chadwick shouted to her trainer and to her mother who were in the boat and asked to be taken out of the water. They urged her not to give up, but when she looked toward the California coast, all she could see was a thick fog. So after almost 16 hours of fighting the elements, she was hauled in from the water and into the boat. Numb from the cold and her spirit defeated, Chadwick was devastated to find out that she was only a half mile from the coast. She told a reporter later, "Look, I'm not excusing myself," she said, "but if I could have seen the land, I know I could have made it." She had been beaten not by fatigue or by the cold. The fog had defeated her because it would let her see the goal that was before her. 2 months later, Chadwick swam that same channel again. And again, the fog clouded her vision. But this time she swam on with her faith intact that somewhere behind that fog was land. And this time she made it. And not only was she the first woman to swim the Catalina Channel, she beat the men's record by 2 hours. Do not lose heart. Fix your eyes on what is to come, not on what is seen, what is unseen. This is what it means to live a life of faith. We endure present afflictions, but we carry on in this life of faith because of the unseen hope that we have. In comparison with eternity, the struggles of this life, Paul says, are slight and momentary afflictions. These are meant to be words of comfort for Paul. Though I know that the reality is that it may feel to some that our struggles are not so slight and not momentary at all. When we're struggling, when we're experiencing despair, it's not easy. It doesn't feel like it's just a passing moment. That's Paul's challenge for us, to look ahead to the future, to have enduring faith through it all, looking ahead to what is unseen. Paul begins our scripture today saying that we have within us this treasure. We have the precious gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ, treasure. But it's like we carry this treasure in jars of clay. We are fragile people. We can be useful for sure, as any clay jar might be, but we are also prone to chip, to crack a little here and there. We are broken people who through faith hold within us a great a treasure. Resurrection hope and life is within us. In our life group this last week, we read about a little church in South Africa that's called a Clay Pot Church. And each year, this small group of faithful believers gathers, and they break a clay pot together. And it shatters on the ground into 100 little pieces. And in doing this, they remember their brokenness, their humanity, and how far we really have yet to go in this life. The world around us is broken. It's plain to see. But then together, this clay pot church. They then start to glue the pot back together as best they can. And then they stick a candle in it. And the light shines through those little cracks, through the brokenness, through this little clay pot. You can see the beautiful things that God can do out of brokenness, out of fragile clay pots like us, chipped and cracked, broken clay pots like us. God can make beautiful things. Glennon Doyle Melton poses a question that's hugely important for our subject today. She says, what kind of heaven do you believe in? Are you waiting for it, or are you working for it? As we fix our eyes on the future promise of eternal life, we don't stop at that. We keep going. In the life of faith, we are compelled to move forward and always toward that future where heaven is made a reality. Are you waiting for it or working for it? Heidi Newmark was a pastor for 19 years in a church in South Bronx, a horrible neighborhood in New York City. And the church was located right next door to the dumps and the incinerators where a large portion of New York City burned its trash. The neighborhood is desperately poor, and if anywhere in the United States could be considered God-forsaken, this is the place. For a time, this church in the South Bronx was sort of living in fear, with closed doors, operating as a congregation to themselves. But then, compelled by faith, they finally decided to open their doors to the struggling and terribly broken neighborhood around them. And then beautiful things began to come from it. A church welcomed in a little boy named Nelson, whose mother was a drug addict. Nelson found a new home away from home, and then he proceeded to invite his 21, all 21 of his siblings and cousins who lived together in that neighborhood, in their community, and they all started coming, and they ran wild. They had never stepped foot in a church before. They were dirty. They were horribly misbehaved. They said they did everything with gusto, the pastor said, whether it was singing the children's songs in worship or whether misbehaving, they did it with gusto. A few short months into this adventure of theirs in the South Bronx, the church was in the middle of Lent. And during the children's activity, the church intern asked their new beloved little boy, Nelson, if he was a child of God. And he responded with gusto, of course I'm a child of God. But there was no of course. There's no of course about it. Not long before that, little Nelson was just another kid running wild in the streets of South Bronx, just kind of almost inevitably waiting to get swept up in the crime, the brokenness of the neighborhood. But now he knows. He knows, of course I'm a child of God. There was an article that was written not too long ago that named Keokuk as one of the top 10 worst places to live in Iowa. It was based on unemployment, housing, and crime and things. First of all, to get these results, those who did the study clearly didn't measure the generosity and the friendliness of this the people here. And I know that they haven't met any of you. One thing I know is that when the world sees brokenness, when all you can see is the current reality, our present afflictions, it's then that God sees something more. God sees something more just beyond. What kind of heaven do you believe in? Are you waiting for it? Working for it. The Apostle Paul says that though we may be wasting away, God is renewing us day by day. Day by day, as we live out the life of faith, we make small steps day by day, and out of our brokenness, we are being renewed. For we live not only for the present, we look ahead. We fix our eyes on the hope that is to come, and we step faithfully onward into that future that God has in store for us, for the world